Daniel.
Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you, Hog Smayak.
You're the first one, so we're waiting for more.
Okay. I was reading an article on Enra.org about how Moses, King David, and the Baal Shem Tov are considered the three souls of Tzadikim that relate to the Shavuot.
They're the souls of Tzadikim that did what with Shavuot?
That are related to the holiday of Shavuot.
Yes. Did they explain why?
That's what I was getting to. It looked kind of interesting about
King David. This is his Hilulah. The Baal Shem Tov, his Hilulah is either today or tomorrow. I don't remember exactly, but I think it's tomorrow. When I mean tomorrow, I mean tomorrow night. And of course, Moses is related to the Shavuot because he was the one who wrote the Esther Dibrot, although it was dictated by the Creator. So I don't mean to take away from the article, but that's essentially the reason why they're considered that way.
Interesting.
Hello.
Chag Sameach. Good evening.
Good evening, Chag Sameach.
Good evening.
Hi, Daniel.
Hello.
So, please join me in saying the Ana B'Koach.
Hey, I'm going to mute.
Okay. Ana B'Koach, Gedulat Shemincha, Tatir, Terura, Aleph B'Gimel, Yitav Tzadi, Kabel Rinat, Amcha Sagvenu, Taharenu, Nora, Kufre Shayan, Sinted Nun, Na Gibor, Dor Sheyechutcha, Kivava, Shamrem, Nun Gimel Dalet, Yud Kashin, Barchem tacharem, rachame sitkacha, tamid gamlem. Betet resh, tzadi taf kimmel. Chasin kadosh, erov tucha, nael adatach. Tet Resh, Tzadi Taf Gimel, Chet Kuf Bet, Tet Nunayan. Yachid Geye, Lamcha Pene, Zokre Kedushatach, Yud Gimel Lamed, Pei Zayin Kuf. The letters of the month of Sivan. The Resh that created the planet. Kohav, the planet Mercury, and the Zion that created the constellation Teumim, the twins, the astrological sign of Gemini. Together, the Resh and the Zion spell the Hebrew word Raz, which translates as secret. The gematria of Resh and Zion together is 207, the same gematria as the Hebrew word or, which means light. The phrase Adon Olam, master of the universe, has that same gematria of 207. And the phrase Ein Sof also has the same gematria. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumo Shin Kufav Tzadiyutav. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We're now going to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation. And we do this using the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yoheh Waheh. Adonai Yoheh Waheh. El rachum v'chanun, erech apayim, v'rav chesed v'emet, notze chesed l'alavim, nosea'on v'apesha, v'chata'a v'nake. Now we're going to connect to the energy of this year, the year of the goat, by reading and studying two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 52. Tzotz Adoni katzipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters of these five Hebrew words, we're able to parse them into three Hebrew words. Tzatz ki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these five words, we're able to permute them into two Hebrew words, dir yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that we study that connects to the year of the goat is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. In this verse, the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion, is concealed, but the letters of that name are separated by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai Yo he wahe Elohechem Tadibaku Kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776, the year of the pause, the energy of that year is that of the pause. There are two verses in that verse that in that year, or that connects to that energy of that year. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim hayulimat v'lo yachlu lehavshit et kol ha'olot v'yechaskum acheichem ha'levim Ad kilo tam lacha, v'ad yitkachu hakohanim, ki halivim yishre levav, lihitkadesh me hakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of these 25 words, we're able to parse them, permute it into eight names of God. Adonai Yoheh Waheh, La Laheh, Wa Wa Wa, Yo, la, yo, a la, me. Hey, hey, hey. A, ka, a. Re, ka, ha. And when we study the second verse that relates to this year of the pause, it's Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Beit hu ba Adonai yo he wa he ade ad ki bi ya yo he Adonai yo he wa he tzur olamim. There are three verses that connect to the year 5775, the year that swallows death forever. The first that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishem imeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The second verse is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru, udu, mikol hamachavoiya, asher yitchabe sham ushavtem, elai el nachum, wehalachti itchem, wechayayim yeshno, varetz beti pasti, O Tob, call Alfei Yehuda. And the third verse is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved roav yomru ayo. And this brings us to the year 5774, which has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There is only one verse that connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom liamili Israel untati vishatan tafta velo yirgaz od velo yosifu vene avla anoto. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar. The energy of this verse is that of certainty. And we are connecting to that verse by reading. It's from Parasha Yitro, Pasuk 29. And we'll start with Lashem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bit Hilu Urhimud Hilud Hilu Urhimu Leakta L'shem Yud He Bavav He Biyehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Adenu Konenei aleinu maasei adenu konenehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Taneinan Dekucha Berichu Koma Deaved Leila Witata Kola Ihu Kishot Veovada Dikshot Beleid lach mila bialma divae barnash vedach yaleya mineya ulan haga beya kelana dehakulu ovada tikshot inun wikola itzderich bialma. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God. and the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. And the Tzaddikim who chose to leave this day, the day of Shavuot, the day of the gift of the Torah. The first one that we're connecting to is David HaMelech, King David, who wrote most of the Psalms. Was a prolific songwriter, and a poet, among other skills that he possessed. Rabbi Chaim ben Betzalel, Rabbi Israel ben Eliezer, known as the Baal Shem Tov, the master of the good name. There cannot be enough said about the Baal Shem Tov and his wisdom. Rabbi Abraham Shalom Halberstam of Stropkov. Rabbi Avraham Mordechai Alter. Rabbi Yehuda Rosner, known as the Imre Yehuda. And Rebbetzin Devorah Margulis. And the eighth verse of the Ana Bekoa we say in a whisper. The class that we are going to do tonight is continuing discussions around Shavuot, teachings around Shavuot. You can find it on the unique astrological times link, which is underneath the two pictures on the right of every Shem webpage, or at the bottom of the webpage on your mobile device. When that page opens up, please scroll down to the section titled Study Material for Shavuot, and we will be doing most of that, our studies there. And the last link in that section is titled Shavuot from Abraham Sutton, the Power Pack Parable. And that is what we are going to study in this class. We'll see how long it takes us and what we will do afterwards if it's generally not long enough. But we'll see. It's only 5 pages. The parable for Shavuot, receiving the Torah, experiencing Hashem. I would like to share a parable with you. The purpose of this parable is to deepen our appreciation of the holy holiday of Shavuot. And as an aside, as a commentary, unwritten commentary, there cannot be enough stress on how holy Shavuot is. As we discussed on Sunday and then again last night, Shavuot is immortality. There can be no greater gift than to remove death from the world. There can be no greater loss than to bring death back into the world, God forbid, which was done with the golden calf. Let us bring the light of the Creator to shine so strongly that the angel of death must remove itself so far and run back to its lair and stay out of our lives. And may we all say, Amen. By way of introduction, Shavuot is called Zman Matan Toratenu, the time of the giving of our Torah. It was on the first Shavuot, 3,300 plus years ago, that Hashem began giving us his Torah, meaning he revealing to us his plan for creation. Most people don't think of the Torah as that, in that way, in that context. The Torah is the plan of creation, but we know it is. We know this from the Midrash. We know this from many different sources. At Sinai, he began teaching us how to play our part in bringing the world to its highest fulfillment. It was on that day that we stood at Sinai. Ke'ish echad v'lev echad, as one man with one heart. It was on that day that Hashem opened the heavens and granted us a direct experience of his unity, his oneness. Ata chareta l'da'at ki Hashem hu ha'elohim ein milvado. You have been shown, another translation, you have been granted enlightened awareness to know, experience directly and empirically, that Hashem, the Infinite One, is Ha-Elohim, the creator and the sustainer of the world. There is none besides him. The commentator Rashi, in the name of the Midrash, gives us a peek at what they saw. Just scan the Hebrew if you're reading along with me. Harata kashinatan akadosh barhu at et haTorah patach lachem zayin v'rakiyayim v'kashem shekara et haElohi a'alav miyam kara krayeta tachatonayim v'rav shehu yechid lekach ne'marata harayeta lada'at ein od milvado. You have shown, when the Holy One gave the Torah to Israel, he opened the seven firmaments of the spiritual dimensions. And then, just as he tore open the curtains of the upper worlds, so too he tore open the curtains of the lower worlds. They thus saw that he is a singular above and below. This is the meaning of, you have been shown to know, there is none besides him. Besides experiencing Hashem's oneness visually, we also experienced it audibly. This experience was so powerful that our souls left our bodies. Ama rabotenu zekaronim livaracha she'asirat hadavarut kolen bekol echad yitzav napi hagalora hagivora devar kesha kisha ad beod mashen heifa shel chadot yekol davar velo ta ozen yekol al shamoa velich shach kitiv nafshi yata bedabiro. Our masters taught that the Asheret HaDibrot, the ten utterances, were all spoken in one syllable. They issued forth from the mouth of the Holy One as one, something so difficult to imagine that no human mouth can utter it, nor any human ear hear it. It is therefore written, Yatsa nafshi bedabero, my soul departed at the sound of his voice. Our souls were unable to remain in our bodies when we heard the voice of Hashem at Mount Sinai. Not once, but numerous times, our souls left our bodies and returned, left our bodies and returned. Just scan the Hebrew. I'm not going to read this one. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi also taught, with every dibur, with every word, with every mitzvah that emanated from the mouth of the Holy One, the souls of the B'nai Yisrael departed from their bodies, from our bodies, because we all were there. This is the meaning of Yatsa Nafshi Bedabero. My soul departed at the sound of his voice. But you might ask, since their souls departed at hearing the first dibur, how could they have received the second dibur? And he, Hashem, brought down the dew with which he will resurrect the dead in the future, and thus restored our souls back into our bodies each time. The following verse alludes to this. Elohim, you poured down Geshem Nidavot, generous rains of bounty. You established this people as your inheritance when they were weary in the desert, in which the Targum Yonathan, the Aramaic translation, restates as when Bet Yisrael heard your powerful voice, their souls flew upwards from fright. But then you, God, poured down Mitrin de Ra'ava, rains of loving grace, the dew of resurrection, upon your inheritance, thereby mending, thereby healing the weary congregation. Dying, meaning physical death, and reviving, coming back to physical life, numerous times at Sinai means that the revelation was so powerful that we, our souls, merged into the divine oneness. This is why our experience of Sinai is described as bringing us to the same level as Adam, before the original sin, before the decree of death. We had to die and be revived numerous times, over and over again, so that it would become encoded into our psyche. What does Rabbi Sutton mean, encoded into our psyche? When someone says there will be a resurrection of the dead, people do not laugh. People generally do not think it absurd. People are hopeful. Because embedded in our psyche, in our core genetic makeup, is the knowledge that we have already been resurrected. And we will be again, as often as we need to be, to reach our tikkun. One additional tiny peek into what we experienced, but didn't necessarily understand when it was happening. The Har Sinai Ashan Kulo Mifne Asher Yarad Ilav Hashem Baish Ve'al Ashano Ka'ashen Hak Bishan Vyacharad Kol Ahuachar Meod Vahi Kol Haspar Cholech Vechazek Meod. Mount Sinai Ashkan Kulo was or became all smoke. For Hashem had come up down upon it in the fire. Its ashan, its smoke, thus went up like the smoke of a lime kiln furnace. The entire mountain trembled violently. There was also the sound of a ram's horn, increasing in volume to a great degree. To understand this ourselves, we need first to understand that we don't understand. When reading words like ashan, smoke, and esh, fire, we tend to imagine the kind of smoke and fire in which we are familiar. Rashi and Rabbeinu Bachya warn us not to make such suppositions. First, Rashi starts off by informing us. Ashan kulo ein ashan zeshem davar Ela lesham pa'al kimo amar shemar shema Ashan kulo. This word ashan is not a noun, but rather an action verb. Similar in construction to the word amar, he said, and shamar, he guarded, and shama, he heard. According to Rashi, ashan means it, the mountain, smoked. Strange, what could this mean? As we will see momentarily, it does not mean that smoke was coming up from the mountain. Indeed, we are not talking about any kind of physical smoke at all. Rabbeinu Bachya confirms this. Wehar Sinai Ashan Kulo Ahar Haya Ashan Velo Haesh Ki Haesh Shehu Lifnei Kavod Hashem, Ein Lo Ashan. Mount Sinai, Ashan Kulo. It was not the fire that was producing smoke, but rather that the mountain was smoking. For heavenly fire that comes forth from Hashem's glory does not produce smoke. Why not? Why is smoke produced from a physical fire? It's because the physical item has waste, things that don't burn completely. And that is what is smoke. But there's another way of perceiving it. The mountain produced smoke means that the mountain was not solid to our view, to our perceptions. The mountain was vapor, like smoke. We are still left wondering, what does it make mean that the mountain was not producing smoke, but rather was smoking? And what difference does it make? And again, why is smoke being mentioned if we were not even talking about regular smoke? And we will answer the first question in a moment, after we see what Rashi and Rabbeinu Bakya have to say about the last question. Rashi and Rabbeinu Bakya both answer this last question based on the Mishlechilta and the Pesishta, two ancient Midrashic texts. And I'm not going to read this Hebrew. Feel free to scan it. Its ashan, its smoke, thus went up like the smoke of a lime kiln. Could it be like a mere kiln, a furnace, and no more? But another verse states, you approached and stood at the foot of the mountain. The mountain was burning with a fire reaching the heart of heaven, with darkness, cloud, and fog. Then Hashem spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no image. There was only a voice. Page 3, section 12. Why then does the Torah use the analogy of a mere kiln or furnace? Rather, it is in order to make intelligible to the human ear as much as it can understand. The Torah gives an analogy to that which is familiar. Similarly, the prophet writes, he, Hashem, roars like a lion. But who gave the lion power if not he? And yet the Torah compares him only to a lion. But again, we describe him by comparing him to his creatures, in order to make intelligible to the human ear as much as it can understand. Scan the next paragraph in Hebrew. Its ashan, its smoke, thus went up like the smoke of a lime kiln. It is obvious that the analogy is not exact. However, because we are physical, it is impossible for us to imagine purely spiritual realities, except by referring to their physical counterparts with which we are familiar, literally in which we are sunken. This is similar to the statement of our sages. The Torah speaks in the language of human beings. That statement is explanation of what has come to be called the language of branches, where we use a physical item to explain what is seen and heard and touched and smelled and spoken. The sages are adamant. You think you know what the Torah? You think you know what the Torah is talking about? You think it's just telling stories? You think that it's describing a mountain on fire? You think that God literally travels, descends and ascends in or on clouds? You think that the clouds of glory that surrounded the children of Israel in the desert were regular clouds? The Torah calls them clouds, so aren't they clouds? Suffice to say that it would be wiser to envision them not as physical clouds, like the clouds we see in the sky, but more like an electromagnetic force field that we can see, that we can feel, that we can hear, that we can touch. The Torah comes from a dimension high above us. It even gives us access to that dimension. It does so, however, through the seemingly familiar. It reveals by dressing up in the familiar, by hiding behind the familiar. Accordingly, our task when learning Torah is to learn to think multidimensionally. With this, we can now understand what the Torah means when it says that Mount Sinai was Ashan Kulo. It was really what we might call the Ashan effect. As opposed to physical smoke, it was really the molecular structure of physical reality that began to dissolve, not only in front of our eyes, but over us and under us. And all around us as well. We felt as if the proverbial carpet was being polluted, was being pulled from under us. God forbid I said polluted. The high energy of Hashem's presence revealing itself on Sinai caused the mountain to lose its hard physical appearance and become more like we might describe as a mirage. In the desert, an undulating mass of energy that threatened to spread and overwhelm us. This is why we said to Moshe, "You speak to us, and we will listen, but let Hashem not speak with us anymore, for we will die if he does." This is why we stood at a distance while Moshe entered the Arafel. The fog. This is what we experienced at Sinai. This was the level of prophecy that we tasted on that first Shavuot. Our consciousness was freed and elevated above its normal physical limitations. 7 layers of filters, firmaments, opened up above and below us. The filters that normally protect us were removed. Our souls, usually in a state of deep sleep within our bodies, they became awakened. We saw and heard and experienced reality from Hashem's point of view. And even though we couldn't handle it, and we asked to be relieved of the responsibility of maintaining that awesome state of divine awareness. The seed had been planted. We had been given a collective peek behind the scenes. We had been given a taste of reality with a capital R. Even when that spiritual would again be clothed within the mundane, it would never be the same to us. Shavuot every year. This is a little peek into what it means that we received the Torah on Sinai on that first Shavuot. When read in this way, we understand that the Torah is the repository of the actual experience it describes. In order to access this level of experience, we must go inside. There, the garments of the seemingly mundane and the familiar that conceal the bright light of Hashem's presence become transformed. Ever since that first Shavuot, our annual Shavuot is that one day of the year on which Hashem continues to flow that awesome light of His Torah down into the world. It is for this reason that we stay up the entire night of Shavuot to learn and share Torah in preparation for literally receiving the Torah anew on Shavuot morning. This doesn't mean that Torah is not flowing down every day and every second, but that this is the special day every year that embodies this. And not only do we commemorate and even connect with that original revelation at Sinai on this day, but we see the original Shavuot as a little hint of a great Shavuot at the end of history, when all mankind will stand together and be lifted up to the heights of prophecy, above death, above dying, to merge consciously into Hashem. This is based on a number of sources that I bring in my book, Pesach Light. It is also the meaning of what we sing in Kedusha of Musaf every Shavuot morning and every Shabbat morning as well. Hu Eloheinu, Hu Avinu, Hu Malkeinu, Hu Moshienu, Hu Yoshienu, Vayigaleinu, Shenit Vayishmeinu, Birachamav Le'ene, Kol Chai Le'mor, Hein Ge'alti Yethem, Acharit Kareishit Le'iyot Lachem, Le'elohim Ani Hashem, Eloheichem. He is our God, He is our Father, He is our King, and He is our Deliverer. He will therefore surely deliver us and redeem us again. In His mercy He will speak to us again, but this time in the presence of all that is alive, saying, Behold, I have redeemed you from this final exile as from the first, to be your God. I am Hashem, your God. This is what Rashi means in his commentary on the second verse of Song of Songs. Oh, that He would kiss me again with the kisses of His mouth. Oh, that He would reveal the secrets of His Torah to me, as He began to do at Sinai. He, Shlomo, the master author of Song of Songs, Shir HaShirim, uses this example, this image of a groom and bride kissing, to describe how Hashem gave us His Torah at Sinai and spoke to us face to face. Face to face, Hashem spoke with you on the mountain from the midst of the fire, is the verse in Deuteronomy. Even now, those same demonstrations of love and affection, those same prophetic revelations that He revealed to them when He opened the heavens, which caused their souls to leave their bodies and soar heavenward, are still sweeter to them than any other delight. They are therefore assured by Him. He has therefore made an unbreakable promise to them. to reveal himself to them again, but this time to illuminate for them Sod Ta'ameha, the unfathomableness of the Torah's innermost secrets. And Mistar Sifonotecha, the enigma of its most hidden mysteries, turning to him and beseeching him to fulfill his promise. This is what we mean when we say, oh, that he would kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. We see that Shavuot is not just about something that has happened 3,300 years ago in the Sinai desert. Rather, every new Shavuot that we celebrate each year is a piece of a magnificent puzzle of consciousness that we are putting together in our collective soul. Thus, no Shavuot is ever the same. There is no such thing as just another year, just another Shavuot. Every Shavuot is bringing us closer, and then closer again to the great Shavuot at the end of history as we know it. The Shavuot parable on page 5. Once, after a great Shavuot, some friends were talking about what they had learned on Shavuot night, and it turned out that they had been speaking about the same thing. They even compared notes, and it turned out that they had been speaking about the same thing at the same time. Interested to see if this was simply random synchronicity, they conceived a plan. They would establish a giant network of computers equipped with the most advanced voice recognition technology, placed in every synagogue, in every yeshiva, in every school and home where people would be learning Torah the following Shavuot, and connect them all with a giant mega computer in Jerusalem. All these computers around the world would then feed into the great computer all the Torah learning and even offshoot conversations that would take place and produce detailed data regarding any and all synchronicities. They even had a control group in which those who learned Torah did so with the express intention of sharing the same Torah pipeline with others in other parts of the world, and all the more so with those in the same city. To make a long story short, it worked. Lots of synchronicities, and even more with the control group. They published their findings and asked people to gear up for the next year. And so it was. The data from the following year showed that those who meditated and prayed beforehand to be worthy of sharing the same or similar Torah pipelines and consciousness networks with others scored the highest in synchronicities. By the following year, more and more people all around the world, children of Israel and non-children of Israel, prepared themselves for the big day. Guidelines were distributed. Meditate, breathe slowly and deeply. Feel yourself in your body. Thank the Creator for being alive. Connect to your soul. Feel His presence surrounding you and embracing you. As you begin to hear the angels and the souls in heaven singing, sing with them. Know and experience your soul's connection to all of the great tzaddikim who have ever lived. Know that they are alive now in the dimension above ours. waiting for us to become aware of their presence. Know that Hashem is streaming his Torah down into the world at this very moment, just as he began to do at Sinai. Receive the light of the supernal Torah. Be transformed in its light. In the light. And then it happened. Everybody felt it. We all became as one man with one heart. Nobody paid attention to the computers anymore. The energy of prophecy was released, and every living being on earth entered into the state of unified consciousness that Israel experienced on that original Shavuot. In this state, all realized and experienced that time and space are illusionary. We are all still in the Bet HaMikdash. We are all still at Sinai. We are all still in Eden. We are all still in heaven. Heaven is on earth, and there is only oneness. This parable, these 5 pages, were written with blessings for each and every one of us by Avraham Sutton. A very skilled translator of the Hebrew, I don't want to say language, a skilled translator of the Hebrew energies. Does anyone have any questions? Our class will continue at 10 p.m. West Coast time. The recording will start at 8:30. Why, you ask? So that people can say the nighttime Shema together in a unity. I cannot tell you when I will arrive. It will be before that 10 o'clock time period. It will be somewhere between the 8:30 and 10 time period. But whenever I do, and I'm not asking you to stay on the call at that time, but in your own homes with one soul and one heart, to say the nighttime Shema, because we are going to be up all night, and it needs to be said before midnight. And 10 p.m. West Coast time is 1 p.m., which is midnight in the daylight time zone. So I'm just giving you information. It will be said prior to that 1 o'clock, as the halakha suggests we do. Shalom to all. We'll speak. We'll experience each other shortly. Shalom.
Shalom.
Chag-sameh.
Chag-sameh.
Shalom.
Shalom.